We're up to Perek Yud Ches Pasuk Beis. Lo yachboitz kesil b'svuna ki im b'hiskalos libo. A kesil, a fool, does not desire understanding, but what he does want is b'hiskalos libo. He wants to reveal his heart. What does this mean? Let's see. One thing at a time. The Metzudas Pasuk Beis b'svuna lohaysif bina al shebiyad. The Metzudas learns the pasuk in a very simple way. A kesil does not want to add to his education. He figured he already got his degree, he spent his time, he did his time in yeshiva, there's nothing more to know, and he's not interested in adding to his knowledge. But what he does want is b'skalos lashmiya l'rabim ma'at chochma shebiyado l'hisparba. The only thing he's interested in doing is letting people know about what he knows. Is hearing himself, other people should listen to what he has to say, to reveal to the world the small amount of knowledge that he has accumulated in his past. But he has no plan for the future to go forward and to become a greater Talmud Chacham. A Talmud Chacham is always called a Talmud Chacham because it's always in the state of learning. A Ben Torah is always a person that's a Ben. He's always in the category of a mekabel, looking to learn, looking to accept and grow. The kesil is a person who feels that his education has come to an end. There's nothing more to learn. It's now time, l'hiskalos, is to speak up, is to reveal, to let the world know what he knows, and to take pride in his small amount of wisdom. Rashi, ki im b'hiskalos libo. Ashav, ki im b'hiskalos libo. Ki im b'gilui libo, hu chafetz. He wants to reveal his heart, to reveal what is in his heart. Okay, so this is the simple interpretation. Okay, are there other interpretations? I think from the Ralbag, says Layachbot's Ksil Bisuna, a Ksil does not want to listen. See, his focus, I'm not sure it's the Ralbag, I don't remember my notes here, but the idea is that the difference between a fool and a wise man is a good listener. Tvuna means to listen. When you enter into a conversation, into a debate, it's important to hear what the other party has to say. That's tvuna, mevin davar, mitoch davar. You have to be able to build upon the knowledge that's being presented. He doesn't want to do this. He just wants l'hiskalos libo. He wants to say his piece. He wants people to listen to what he has to say and not accept. Okay, let's see. Let's go to the next. Pasuk Gimel Bevo Rasha Bal Gambuz. When the Rasha comes, then enters disgrace. V'im Kolon. Kolon is another word for a Rasha. A Kolon is the name of a person who is a disgraceful person. Cherpa, with his entry, comes shame. There are two people in this Pasuk. There's the Rasha and the Kolon. And with them come booze and cherpa. This is in contrast to Pasuk Beis, where we've discussed the kesil. So the rasha and the kolon are worse than the kesil, because at least the kesil does not bring shame and cherpa to the audience. But the wicked man and the one who's called the kolon does. Let's see the Metzudas Pasuk Gimel. Bo gambuz ki dargoy levazois b'nei adam. It's derech of a wicked person to disgrace others. The im kolon, im adam sheyesh by kolon, a person who with that person is kolon shame, kolon rav, ki yavi im cherpa, he brings with him cherpa, ki darko l'choref b'kolono, he disgraces himself, his nature, l'choref, to curse others, b'kolono, with his own shame, the live soul b'mumo. We have this principle in the Gemara called ha'poisel b'mumoi poisel. If a person goes around calling other people mamzerim, you mamzer, check into his yichus. It must be that he himself is a mams. The Gemara says as well, kol ha'poisel b'mumoi poisel. So you always have to watch out what you preach. If someone is obsessed with noshim, you know, certain people, they're obsessed, they're always talking about, don't go look, shmir sinayim, and it's just a sickness. That means that it must be the person himself is suffering from this. I mean, and achas hashem doesn't mean that, but it means that obviously, if you're too obsessed with a certain type of agenda, there's something wrong. There's definitely something that means that the person, if you find fault in other people in this matter, it must be that the fault is in yourself in this matter.
Could this be that Freud talked about reaction formation, same exact thing? What you're really interested in is overreaction. You're really interested in yourself.
Yourself, exactly.
You say in Yiddish, "Beim Ganef brennt es Hittel."
What does that mean in English?
The one who's the thief. He's bothered by other
people. Other people who are thieves, exactly, exactly. So this principle is right here. This is a... okay, so this idea is hinted to in this pasuk, Vim kolon cherpa, a person who himself is full of shame, cherpa, he will project the shame that's within his own soul upon other people.
Projection.
It's projection. That's what he's doing. You're projecting the chesroness within you upon other people, and Rashi, the Mitzudas here, very cleverly points out this in Chazal. This is a Chazal. This goes back 3,000 years. This Chazal, and we're rooting it even further back into the pasuk. Kol ha-poisel b'mumay poisel. When you find fault in others, you're only finding fault in yourself. You're revealing your own chesronos. You're projecting your own chesronos upon other people. Okay, now who does this pasuk? Let's see over here. The Rashi im kolayin tavay cherpa mi shaboicher b'kolayin v'neyov cherpa hilo. Rashi learns the pasuk a little bit different. Rashi is not. It's not. Rashi, we learned the pasuk so far to mean that the kolayin is the definition of a person. We all know that a rasha is the name of a person. A rasha is a description of an evil man. Kolayin, according to the Mitzudos, is likewise a description of an evil person, a man that's mole shame, and he now projects cherpa, this disgrace upon others. Rashi does not learn like that. Rashi tovi cherpa misha boicher b'kolayin, a person that chooses b'kolayin. I take it back. I take it back. The same idea. A person that chooses a lifestyle of kolayin v'neof, of adultery, arayos, cherpa hilo, when it says cherpa is defining not others. The difference between Rashi and the Mitzudos is that the Mitzudos learns cherpa is a projection upon others. According to Rashi, cherpa is a description about the person himself. Since he is engaged, he is involved in shameful acts, cologne, memela, cherpa hilo, people will view him as a disgraceful person. So the cologne is his actions, and the cherpa is the way he is viewed in society for what he has done. Okay, the Medrash says that this pasuk refers specifically to Esav. Now, mi ne'amar, who is the subject of this pasuk in the Medrash? Esav Harasha. Why Esav? Why Esav Harasha? Because when he entered Shabbat Ziona, when he came to his father for the bracha, his father said, "Go out into the field of the Tzidli Tzayit and go and trap an animal and bring me the matamim and I'll give you the bracha." When he entered, so we all know the Rashi in Chumash that Yitzchak sensed the Pischoy Shel Gehenim opened up with a entry of Esav. When Esav walked in, Gehenim came with him into the home of Yitzchak Avinu. Bevor Rasha, when the Rasha Esav walked into the room of Yitzchak Avinu to take the bracha, Bo Gambuz came Gehenim. Yitzchak sensed the Pischoy Shel Gehenim. Okay, that's what the pasuk says. Vayechrad Yitzchak Charada Gedoyla Ad Me'od. He was terrified. Why was he terrified? So we learned simply because he was afraid that he gave the bracha to the wrong person. Isn't that the same interpretation? When Yitzchak asked, "Who are you?" and he said, "I am your son Esav," Yitzchak then realized that he gave the bracha to an imposter, who happened to be Yaakov. So we understand that Yitzchak Vayechrad Yitzchak Charad Gedola Ad Me'od is he was terrified that he gave the bracha to the wrong person, to an imposter. That's Pashup Shat. But the Medrash says that Yitzchak wasn't afraid of that. He knew already in advance, Gam Baruch Hu, whoever got the bracha deserved the bracha. The reason why he was terrified was because of this pasuk, Bevoi Rasha, Bo Gambus. When Esav walked in, he brought with him Gehenim. And Gehenim was a terrifying experience even for Yitzchak Avinu, who has nothing to fear. Even he was afraid of Gehenim. Allah has Kam V'Kam, what's the left for us to say how terrified we are going to be afraid of Gehenim, yeah?
This was the first time
he made a very good point. I guess in this instance, Hashem opened up his eyes. You're making a very good point, but in this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a mitzamsim. The whole Bria, everything in creation is all about HaKadosh Baruch Hu hiding, being mitzamsim from us, what the reality. And at times, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he opens up the Koyach HaTzimtzum and allows man to see the bigger picture. So we have to assume that in this instance, HaKadosh Baruch Hu opened up the eyes of him. He was blind. I mean, he opened up his mind and he was able to see that not only is Esav here, Esav is coming in with Gehenim. That's what you have to learn. The scientists say that most of our mind is involved in blocking out things. Is that true? I read this in one of these books, that a very small percent of our mind is involved in absorbing information. Most of the mind is involved in blocking things out. Because the human, there's so much to absorb, to take in. If we would, the mind would take everything in one shot, we would go crazy. We would lose our minds.
Like autistic kids.
They have less
sensitive, as they can't filter out certain noises.
Filter out, right. Most of the mind is now filtered, that's why they're also very spiritual, the autistic children, because they have they're able to see a lot more than the average person. There's less filtering taking place.
They can't process it or handle it either.
They can't process it. Well, that's they see that's in that book. I told that very scary book from Rev Kamenetsky. I said there's this little thin book, The Afterlife. And it says that's what happens when a person's neshama leaves this world. There's no filtering. The mind is free. There's no filtering, and there's an enormous amount of information that is is flooding the neshama, and it takes the neshama a year to adjust.
Big data.
12 months. What?
Big data.
That's what
big data is all about.
What's the word?
Big data.
What do you mean? That's what it's called?
In the computer world.
In the computer world, yeah.
All this amount of information that's flooding in, and the big question is how do you
process it?
How do you process it? Filter.
So they said the mind most of the time is involved in filtering, limiting the amount of information that it processes in order to maintain a degree of sanity. But when that filter is released, it's a whole different experience. So Esav over here is Yaakov Avinu now has removed the filter, and Bevo Rasha, Bo Gambuz, with him comes Gehenim, and that's why it says Vayechran Yitzchak Harado Gedola Admo. Nothing to do with the brachos, according to this Medrash, the Sialkut Shemayni. Okay, let's go further. Pasuk. Before we go further, just make sure I know I'm forgetting something important. Important over here. Okay, let's go further. Pasik Dalet Mayim Amukim Divrei Piish Nachal Novea Mikor Chochma. The deep waters are the words of man, are the Piish. And Nachal Neveh, a flowing stream, is a source of wisdom. So what does this mean? Let's think of this. Before you go further, just take note, there's a contradiction in this pasuk. On the one hand, it says that it's Mayim Amukim, waters are very deep. Waters are very deep means that it's very difficult to retrieve. On the other hand, it says that Nachal Noveya, it's a flowing stream. Nachal, a stream that's flowing, which seems to indicate that it's extremely easy. The Mekor Chochma, the source of wisdom. So what is it? Is wisdom Mayim Amukim? It's very deep, very deep. You have to have a very long string to this rope to lower the bucket to retrieve the water. Or is the water readily available? It's a flowing stream on the surface. There appears to be a contradiction. And the answer is, you have to open up the channel. You have to open up the channel. Once the channel is open, then the water flows freely. We'll see more detail in a few moments. Let's see the Mitzudas Pasuk Dalet. Maya Mukim Ratzulaymar. So first in the parish of the Mitzudas. The Mitzudas is a very different interpretation. He learns that we're dealing with Chochmah. We're coming to contrast the words of Chochmah. the contradiction is going to be resolved by contrasting the chokhmah of the umos ha'olam with the chokhmah of the Torah. The chokhmah of the umos ha'olam is mayim amukim. It's very difficult. It's very difficult to grasp. It's not pure. Whereas the Torah, the chokhmah of the Torah is pure, it's natural, it's like a flowing stream. This is his novel interpretation. Mayim amukim, ratzu laymar, divrei ish, the words of man, meaning the wisdom of man, miyeser hadvarim, from the other matters, she'enam mechokhmas haTorah, from matters that are not from the chokhmah of Torah, hema kamayim amukim, they are like deep waters, asher haroitzel lishtos mehem, if you want to drink from these deep waters, yatriach ledaloysam b'chli, it's very difficult, there's great difficulty to retrieve it with the utensil, ki amayim lo yivob me'atzam, the water will not naturally flow into the utensil, ki el pi ha'shayseh, it will not naturally flow to your mouth, you have to take low with a rope deep down in order to retrieve it. V'chein yeser hadvam, furthermore, other matters, she'enam mechokhmas haTorah, al karchach me'atzmo yatrich lahavinam, you'll have no choice but to exert yourself with great difficulty to understand the depth. Ki hemo lo yasilo yisayelo, the words of chokhmah of the umos olam are not going to help you. They're not going to have any. There will be no siat d'shma in understanding what they mean. Avol, but the pasuk concludes chokhmas haTorah. He kenachal hanaveya, it is like a flowing stream. Asher me'atzma yimshach, it flows naturally. El pi hashayset, the one who drinks it. Im yiskavlo, if you just do the minimal effort to come close to it. V'chein chokhmas haTorah taskil ha'iskin ba, will make wise the people that involve themselves with it. So this is the Mitzvah's interpretation. There's a contradiction. There's something called mayim amukim, and there's something called a nachal noveya. The mayim amukim refers to the words of chokhmah chitzonios, the chokhmah of the world of teva, of the world, and that is something which requires great exertion, great effort to retrieve, and there is no siyat d'shmaya in the chokhmah making itself understandable to man, whereas the chokhmah satara, it requires the minimal effort to connect to it, and once a person connects to it, it flows, and is able, and the chokhmah will make itself available, will make itself known to man, and will make man wise. Okay, that's interpretation number one. Rashi, Pasuk Dalet, Divrei Pi'ish, Kol Ish Shebemikra, Lashon Gibor Gadol Begvuruhu. First of all, Rashi says, when it says Ish, all of a sudden Rashi is telling us a rule, we had the word Ish multiple times, whenever it says Ish, Ish means a might, a warrior, a mighty person, a strong person. It's called Ish Shebemikra, Lashon Gibor Gadol Begvuruhu, is a mighty person. Mekar Chochma, Kenachal hanoveya chamayim amukim, it's like a stream that's flowing and like water that's very deep. Okay, so Rashi doesn't seem to be bothered with this contradiction between the two halves of the pasuk. Rashi seems to say amukim means profound. Instead of saying that it's difficult in retrieving, Rashi means to say that there's an endless supply. Not like the Mitzudos. The two parts of the pasuk are not a contradiction. In fact, they are enhancing one another. The water of Chochmah has the advantages of a deep spring and a river. A river has the advantage that it's readily available, it's accessible, and it flows naturally, but has the chesaron that it's shallow, that it can easily dry up. If there's a drought, if there's a heat storm, a heat wave, there'll be no more water. Mayim amukim has the advantage that it's always there, it's always deep down in the ground, and it's permanent, it's not going anywhere, but has the chesaron that it's very hard to retrieve. So here along comes the pasuk according to Rashi and tells us that the divrei piish, the words of a gibor, the words of a tzaddik, a gibor, a zeu gibor, hakovesh esitzra, we assume Rashi means, the words of a wise man has the advantages of both. They are consistent, they're not going to disappear, they're not shallow, they're amukim, the waters come from a very, very deep source which is stable and secure, but also has the advantage that they're readily available, it's accessible, it flows continuously on the surface. Okay.
It's very deep and profound.
but still available. It's available to the masses. It's like the Koyach of Torah, the same Pasuk in Torah can be studied by a child, and it can be studied on a much deeper level by an adult, by a very big Talmud Chacham. So it's deep, has depth for the Talmidei Chachamim, but also it's simple, can be understood even by a simple child. It's a nachal noveh. Yeah.
That, he asked the question. He says, "What do you teach kids in yeshiva? You teach them chumash. You get older and older, you teach them gemara." He says, "But who is the author of the chumash? It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shouldn't it make sense that you teach that last?" He says, "No. The answer is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote it, so that it's understood at every different level, even for a child.
Okay, so this pasuk really to that degree captures that idea. It's amukim, but it's also nevea mikor chachma. It's also nachal nevea. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Hey, seis pnei rasha loytov lahata sadik b'mishpat. Seis means to favor. To favor the pnei rasha is not good. Lahatois tzaddik ba mishpat, to corrupt the tzaddik in mishpat. This pasuk simply refers to bribery, a theme that we had in the previous parak. If a person is a recipient of a bribe, it's a double crime. Number one, the rasha has been elevated. You're setting an evil example in society to favor the rishayim. And number two, the tzaddik, it's bad enough the rasha has been favored, the tzaddik also has been cheated from what he deserves. Pasuk in the mitzvah says, "Anoisa pnei rasha lezakoisa, a judge who favors the rasha lezakoisa b'mishpat, hinei kefu l'chatosa, the sin is double." Number one, kinasa pnei rasha. Number two, he has favored the rasha. He has set a bad example in society that wicked people, they prosper and they're successful. Number two, he has robbed the tzaddik, the hita mishpat tzaddik, he has denied, he has perverted the judgment of the tzaddik, asher shneim lo tovim, both of these things are corrupt. Umilas lo tov, when it says here lo tov in the pasuk, it has to be repeated twice. It's going backwards and forwards. It's lo tov on the seitz pnei rasha, and it's also lo tov lahat is tzaddik b'mishpat, so the lo tov has to be repeated twice. Umilas lo tov choyzeh l'malo ulemata. Okay, that's the start of this pasuk. Rashi pasuk case seitz pnei rasha lo tov ki ish Kasher perish Rabbeinu, like Rabbeinu have explained, lo yitov lochem l'rosham shenaisim lochem panim el mazeh v'nefram mehen lo'ilam haba. Okay, so Rashi is right away jumping to the Medrash. They're telling us this idea is it's not good for the Rasha. We're talking tzaddik v'raloi, Rasha v'toivloi. Tzaddik Rasha v'toivloi. So we're discussing according to Rashi this fundamental principle, and he's saying that this that we find in this world, that tzaddikim, they suffer, that is for their benefit, and this that we find that the rishayim prosper is not for their benefit. So when it says se'es p'nei rasha, it means when HaKadosh Baruch Hu favors. We're not, according to Rashi again, we're not looking like the Mitzvot. We're not discussing a judge. We're not discussing a double travesty that's happening when a person is, when a judge, he honors a Rasha. We're discussing two separate themes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running his world, and he is showing what appears to be favor to the Rasha. The Rasha is living a wonderful life. He's successful. He's wealthy. He's healthy. He has children. Everything is going his way. Hashem is showing him favor. Se'es p'nei Rasha. So the pasuk says, Loitoiv, this Rasha, that's a sign that this Rasha is not going to be doing well. He's not going to be doing well in the next world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is favoring him in this world. He's paying off all of his good deeds. And in the next world, it's going to be Loi Toiv. Rashi, one more time. Kasher Perishu Rabbeinu Loi Toiv Lohem L'Rashayim. It's not good what's happening to them, that they're successful in this world. Shenaisim Lohem Panim El Mazeh. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is showing them favor in this world, because what's going to happen to them is V'nifra Mehem Lo'olam Haba. Then, when it says in the pasuk lahatois tzaddik b'mishpat, to pervert the tzaddik b'mishpat, toiv lohem. Rashi learns toiv lohem latzaddikim shemachriin lohem kaf maznaim lechayva meilam hazeh. It is good for the tzaddikim in this world that the scale shall be tipped not in their favor, against them, in order v'nifram mehem b'chayehem. In order that they should be paid in their lifetime, so that for the ultimate benefit should be for their better in their olam haba. Period. So therefore, according to the interpretation, the word lo tov is not going, according to Rashi, not like the mitzvot, is not going forwards. Lo tov is only going backwards. It's not good what's happening to the Rishayim. They're going to suffer. And when it comes to the tzaddikim, we have to add a make-believe word. Toiv lohem la tzaddikim, tov lehatos tzaddik b'mishpat. You have to add the word tov. It's implied. Being that it says loy tov in the beginning of the pasuk, it's self-understood that we have to add the word toiv for the second half of the pasuk, that it's toiv, it's good, lahatois tzadik b'mishpat, to tip the scales for the tzadik in mishpat, the mishpat, to judge them strictly with midas hadin in this world, in order they should benefit in the next world. And then Rashi concludes,
what he's saying is that the loy toiv goes both for the rasha and the tzadik.
No, that's according to the mitzvah.
Also is saying that it's loytov l'rasha. Why? Because nifrayim ba'olam haba. It's not good for the rasha.
Right. In this world. In this world. Yeah. But for the tzaddikim, it's toiv.
Tzaddikim, it's loytov
that they should get in the next world.
They have se'es rasha. It's not good for the tzaddik that he has se'es.
No, but
that they are favored. Because that way they get olam haba also.
I know, but it says here se'es p'nei rasha. You look, the only talks about se'es favoritism for the rasha. That's loy tov. The end of the pasuk discusses the tzaddik. The tzaddik. It's good lehatos to turn, according to Rashi, lehatos to turn the scales of justice against him. Lehatos tzaddik b'mishpat, to turn the scales of justice against him, so that he should be punished in this world, so that he can benefit, reward in the next world. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, v'toiv. Rashi is very clear. Rashi says, Rav Sinai, lotov lo tzaddikim shazam lo tzaddikim shazam. Toiv. The Dibur Masel is toiv v'goymer. Rashi is breaking up the word lo tov and the word tov.
He uses tov both
twice.
But tov,
yeah, it is like the mitzvah, except he's not using the word lo tov. He only used the word tov. And then he quotes, l'fi pshuto kimashmo, I guess I was assuming like the parish of the mitzvah, the stavit, that he warned on the pasha, referring to a judge. And we're just telling that it's not good for a judge to favor the rasha, because, number one, he's setting a bad example, and number two, he is robbing the tzaddik. Okay, now this pasuk is the source of a very interesting halacha in Shulchan Aruch, that you're not allowed to be mistakel the pnei rasha. You're not allowed to look at the face of a rasha. Seis means to gaze. Seis means to favor, but it also means to look at.
Don't look at the rebbe's
also. I knew we can rely upon you. Okay, I'll read you the words. The Gemara says it's very interesting. It's a Gemara. The Gemara says, "Am Rav Yochanan asur la adam lehistakel b'tz." Selem demus adam rasha. It is forbidden for a person lehistakel to gaze intently at the image of an adam rasha. Shenemar. They look at money. They don't look at coins. They don't look. They don't look at the Zionist money.
You're allowed to look at dead presidents.
They count it very well. They count it. Okay. Okay. Well said.
Yes.
Okay, Lule, this, what is the real source? And this is just an asmach. The real source comes from Eliyahu. Eliyahu was summoned by Yehoshaphat. Who was sitting with Yehoshaphat together? Achav. Achav and Yehoshaphat were sitting together. And Elisha then?
No, it was a different Navi. It was a low weight Navi.
Low weight. No such thing as a low weight. Okay, I'm sorry. I don't know. You're right. I don't remember. Lule pinei Yehoshaphat melech Yehuda ani noisei. If not for the fact that Melech Yehoshaphat is sitting here, im abit elecha v'yim erecha, I wouldn't look at you. I would not even look at the face of Achav, your Rasha. From Rav Amar Michocha, from here we learn.
Eliyo was in the days of.
I think it was Eliyo. If not, I'm saying it was. Okay, I don't know. Maybe I don't know. Okay, I don't know. Whoever. But over here we learn that you're not allowed to look, and then the Gemara comes on, follows shoe. Rav says, I don't need to come on. I don't need to come on to that pasuk. We can come on to the pasuk of what it says here in Mishle, Perek Yitches, Se'es, Penei, Rasha, Loitov, do not look at the face of a Rasha. Now indeed, there are people, I know people that would not look at the picture of Hitler, Yimach Shemo V'Zichro. They wouldn't even want to mention his name. People who actually lived through this and suffered, lost their family, the wickedness of these Rasham is so intense. It's true. They would not look Se'es Pnei Rasha Loitav. They would not look at the image, the picture, the tzura of a Adam Rasha. Now, if you look carefully, the words of Chazal, they use some very strong words. The word histakel. There's a chilek. Chazal always say this between Re'ia, glancing, and staklos. Re'ia is a lightweight, just a glance. You give a quick glance, you give a quick look at something. There's nothing forbidden, that is permitted. Histaklos means to study intently, to gaze at. Like Noshim, Chazal said that you're not allowed to be mistakel afilu be'etzpa ketan of an isha. Histakel means to gaze intently with kavanah to derive benefit. But to look at a woman, to talk to a woman, derech nimos, there's nothing wrong. As long as you're having kavanah, it's not histaklos. Another important point, it says bitsura. Tsura doesn't just mean, tsura means, it has a connotation of their entire essence. You want to look at a person, you look at a person, you can see what they look like. Tsura means their conduct, their derech, their hashkafa. The Gemara talks of one day Amaram, he told his children, you should go to a certain talmidei chum for bracha, and shade tsura heim. These are people of stature, tsura of form. And there it means it's not just what they look like. These are people that live,
they were a Baal Tzura, they used to say.
They were what?
They were a Baal Tzura.
A Baal Tzura. A Baal Tzura doesn't just mean what they look like. It means their form. Their form is a term which carries a lot of weight. Their entire essence, their entire hanhaga, their way of life, their emun in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, their derech in Avodas Hashem, that's a powerful word. So here Chazal put together two very powerful words, which would probably knock out almost anything that we do. Ruba de Ruba is also lehistakel, Bitsuras Adam Rasha, Bitselem, in the image Demus Adam Rasha. Tselem is also Tselem is a Listakel Bitselem in the image. Okay, Tselem, it's not the same word, but Bitselem is the same idea. Bitselem Demus Adam Rasha, which would basically mean for us that it's not a good idea to do a doctorate in a Rasha. Don't know. It's very. Many people they go in history. If you want to go for a doctorate, so it's very common. You study an individual who has not been a world famous personality, who has not much is known about them, and you spend a good 5 years delving into their essence, and you put out a book, and you'll get a PhD. So Chazal are giving you advice. Be careful when you go for your PhD, your doctorate. Don't do a doctorate on Hitler, Yimach Shemo V'Zichro. You may discover some very interesting things, but it's not Kedai. Don't be mistakel b'tselem d'mus adam rasha. It's not Kedai to study the life. There are people out there, they like someone like Hitler. Do you know how many books there are on Hitler? And how many studies and people trying to uncover and understand who he was, what he was? Chazal are advising us that you can spend your time doing better things. There are other things to do with your life. Osir, they even use the term osir. Osir lehistakel b'tselem d'mus adam rasha. It doesn't just mean having a picture on the wall. It doesn't mean that. Having a picture is not necessarily even osir. That's a re'ia. That's not called the tselem. The tselem is the person's essence. That is something Chazal advising us. You can spend your time doing better things. And for that matter, unfortunately, there are people that maybe not on the madrega of Hitler, Yimach Shemo, but there are many people that somehow come pretty close. And Chazal are advising us, keep your distance. Michayahu. Michayahu ben
Yimla.
Yimla, thank you very much. So he was told to meet Yehoshaphat and who was it? Achav? Achav, and Achav was a Rasha. He only wanted to meet with him because he only would not have met. It says, Beferish, I wouldn't even look at you because you're Rasha, only in honor of Melech Yehoshaphat. So the question was, how then was Yehoshaphat allowed sitting next to him? He didn't look. There was a mechitza. There was a mechitza. The Navi is the tzoyfe. He sees everything. Okay, I don't know. I'm just saying things. I don't know the answer. It's a good kasha. I don't know.
Because then this was Bulgarian.
Yeah. So he didn't look at him?
He didn't look at him?
Did he
give him shalom?
He gave him a high five.
Okay.
All right. This is the Makar.
You brought something up very interesting. It's very interesting.
Yeah.
What Ben Gurion proposed that he did then is a Kaim Adayom. And a lot of the things that he had this foresight to see. No one changed.
That would be what?
The state of Israel.
Right.
The state of Israel.
To open the road to Yerushalayim.
Look, Rabbi, even if the government will stop giving a penny to Eretz Yisrael, to all the yeshivas, they're still giving money. Even if they would stop giving penny, you can't deny it. Look, for the last 70 years, not 70 years, the last 70, 60 years, 6, 7 years, how much money, you can't deny the history, how much money has been spent by the Medina to support Torah. You can't. Avada. The only reason why we are able to sit here in America and lift our faces up is because there's a Medina in Eretz Yisrael. That you can't deny that fact. The reason why Jews feel some degree of self worth, respect, they feel comfortable living in Chutz Le'aretz and doing the Avodas Hashem is because
security.
Yeah.
Holland walked in first, it was quiet. The second Netanyahu walked in, they all started applauding.
And they sang the article first before the French.
Because they realized that, you know.
It's true.
So you can, with all the criticism, you have to. I once went into a farm store and he asked me, who is this a Hasidic fellow? He said to me, who is the biggest Maitzila R in Sfarm? Who's the one that gives the most money to put out Sifrei Kodesh? Sfarim. He said there's nothing to talk about. Medina As Yisrael. This is a Hasidic fellow who's not 100%. He says the amount of money that they have given to the various institutions there to show for publication, for research, to produce Sifrei Kodesh is just, there's no one in the world that's given that kind of money. And he acknowledged that it's given a very complicated world. We live in a complicated world, and that's it. Let's go further. Pasik vav. Sifsei kisil yavo v'riv u'piv limahalumos yikra. The lips of the foolish person bring him into strife. The moment he opens up his mouth, he is inviting quarrels. He's inviting a division, machloikis. This is the nature of a foolish person. It's always looking for trouble. Upiv, and with his own mouth, limahalumos. The word limahalumos means blows, makos, a makos, hit. Blows, beatings, yikra, he is inviting. He is inviting upon himself people to hit him, to beat him up because of the shameful and harmful and insulting things that come forth from his mouth. Pasuk vav in the Mitzvot Yavo Bereiv, lo yidaber benachas. It is the nature of a fool not to speak with pleasantness, with shalva and peacefulness. Kiyim bimeriva veharamas kol, with strife and with raising his voice. Upiv yikol yatzmo hakos, and his mouth, when he opens up his mouth, he invites upon himself hakos gidolos. He invites upon himself hakos gidolos, blows. Hamishabrois, which destroy his body, his physical existence. Ki bavur amorim keile, due to his insulting and provocative words, Yukod me'anashim, he will be beaten by other people. This is the interpretation of the Mitzudos. Rashi says the same thing. Rashi says, Sifsek Sil Yovil Bariv, Al Kol Devarav Boim Beloshon Tigra. All of his words come with machloikis, come with strife. Upiv Limahalumos, Yikra, Koire Li Surin Lahavia Melov, he calls out that people should strike him, should bring upon him suffering. This is the parish of Rashi, and I saw in the article he has other parish from other Rishayim, other Mepharshim, that it means that he, Yikra, not that he invites it upon himself, he's calling other people to wage war against others. In other words, he's calling that everyone should get up and rebel and strike a fatal blow against the government, against their friends, against society. So Yikra means he's calling, he's rallying, he's promoting machloikis,
violence,
like some of these leaders, so-called community leaders, who get up and say provocative things in order that should rouse up the quiet, the people who are otherwise quiet, and they should rebel against authority. Hamevin Yavin. And that's what it means. Yikra upiv, these people. Okay, maybe I should give you a name. I'm referring to, you know, what I'm referring to. Maybe you don't.
Rivendell.
Oh, very good. You read my mind.
Rivendell.
Everything that comes out of his mouth is sifsek seal yavol verif. It's full of strife. It's all to instigate, to rage, words of rage.
How are the blows coming back to Shaul?
Not coming back. Yikra, I told you the other parish. Not that. That's what I told you, Rashi. The other parish is he's calling Yikra. He's calling for people to rise up and destroy society. Upiv, and that these people whose lips are full of riv, with their mouth limahalumos, for violence. Yikra, they call. They call out, let us rise up, and they're insightful words, calling the masses to rise up and go into rage and destroy society, to shoot police people, officers.
Like
what?
Communist leader starting from Trotsky.
So that's right.
Marx himself with his whole thing.
When did Groucho do that?
That's right. these are a shame. That's right. These communist leaders, well, they destroyed how many millions of people did died 50 million people, Russia, communism, what they the horror they brought to the world. Of course, that's exactly what it says. Upiv limahalumos yikra. Okay, let's see. This is Rashi, and this is the parish of Mitzudos. So we did the Rashi, we did the Mitzudos. Okay, the Gemara makes a drash. The Gemara says, now let's go back on the first interpretation. The first interpretation of Rashi and the Mitzudos says that when a Rasha gets up and he says insightful things, he is inviting upon himself, Yisurim. People should, now this has a deeper meaning, is Al Tiftach Piv L'Satan. That's what this pasuk refers to according to the Medrash. A person should not say something harmful because, you know what? We would not have the chutzpah to say it, but now that you said it, why not? In other words, the way they explain is that in the Mishnayim, the Malachim are sitting in the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and they're all thinking, you know, this guy, he should really get what he deserves. But the Malachim, they're afraid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't have the chutzpah to suggest that this person should suffer. But if the person himself says it, he opens up his mouth, so now the Malachim and Shemayim, when they are Makatre, you know, I didn't say it. You know, he himself suggested that he's deserving of this horrible thing. So, you know, maybe he is taka deserving. Al tiftach piv l'satan. So that's what it says. Upiv l'malumos yikra. According to the Medrash, this means that not only is the fool, a fool is such an idiot, not only does he say crazy things to other people, insightful things, words of rage, he says crazy things about himself. He says, yeah, it should come upon me, this and this and this can happen to me. And when he says those crazy things in Shemayim, it makes it very easy. Yeah, you said it's a good idea. For example, the Dar HaFloga.
What?
Why, whatever that means, the Satan is all the same. The Satan, the Malach HaMoves, the Mekatreg, these are all just different names for the same force. Same agents. Okay, for example, the example is the Dor HaFlog. What did the Dor HaFlog say? Let's go build the Tower of Babylon. Why? Penofutz. because maybe there'll be another, there'll be some type of penofutz al pnei chol aretz. Because maybe, who knows, the Shemaim, there's going to be another Mabul, Hashem, something's going to happen to us, and we're going to be dispersed. Penofutz. We have to go and build this tower of Bavel, whatever the purpose of this tower was, either to support the Shemaim, they thought they had technology, they can control the cosmos, or they thought they wanted to make a symbol which unified everyone together as one, was one country,
United Nations.
Because if we don't do this, whatever this, then we might be dispersed over the entire world. Penofutz al pnei chol aretz. And what taka happened to them? The pasuk says, "Vayofetz Hashem Aysam." Hashem dispersed them. Hashem changed their language. Hashem caused them that kibolakol sefasam, and they were dispersed over the entire world. So the Medrash is telling us an incredible chiddush. The only reason why it happened to them was because that was a very harsh gezerah. They brought it upon themselves. By, I mean, Tiftach Piv L'Satan. And the Tiftach Piv L'Satan is Penofos Al Pnei Aretz. And the Medrash says, where do you see a makar for this in Scripture? In the Via, in Ksuvim? In this Pasuk in Mishlei. That the fools, the foolish people, the Ksil, his Adar HaFlaga, they, Upiv Lim Halumos Yikra, their own mouths brought upon themselves, called out for their own destruction. Another example is Dasan Vaviram, when they rebelled against Moshe Rabbeinu, when they participated in the rebellion of Korach. Korach says, Kol ha'am kulam kedoshim u'sechem Hashem adua tisnasu al Hashem. Korach says, why are you Moshe special? Everyone is equal. So who was the main participants in this rebellion? Dasan Vaviram. Moshe said to Dasan Vaviram, you better come here. I want to talk to you. I want to give you Musar. I want you to stop doing this. And Dasan Vaviram said, even if you'll knock at our eyes, hey, we're not coming up. We will not ascend. We will not ascend. And therefore it's a little bit different. It's not exactly the same idea. It was by saying loy nale, that was the impetus, that was the opening in for the Satan to say, let the earth open up and they shall descend to the depths of the earth. In Vayerdu Heim V'chola Shalohem Chayim Sha'ola, they descend alive into the grave.
I thought Dasan Aviram was always personal against Moshe Rabbeinu. Like they were the one who snitched the power when he killed Moshe. They didn't want one to leave Mitzrayim. They had a good life. They were the last ones out the door.
They were the first ones to join Korach.
Yeah,
they had problems. They needed therapy. What?
They hated his guts.
Fine. So whatever it was. Whatever it is, it doesn't make a difference. Whatever it was, they hated Moshe. They made trouble. And they used these words, Loi Na'ale, we're not going to ascend. And the Medrash is only focusing on this one very small point. Okay, another example. Paro. Last week's parsha, Hava Nischak Molo Pen Yirbe. We better do something about these Jewish people, because if we don't go stop them now, Pen Yirbe. Oh, so you Paro, you're the one who said Pen Yirbe. V'chasher Yanu also Kain Yirbe. Hashem says, so shall they increase. So again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will always use your own words. Your own words. Al Tiftach Pel Satan, the foolish person, the Kasil, he is Upiv Limahalumos Yikra, he calls for his own destruction. He opens up the foolish person, he says things which will lead to his own downfall. Okay, next pasuk. Pasuk Ches introduces us to a beautiful word. Peak seal mechitolo. Okay, this is the same idea. The mouth of the seal mechitolo brings terror upon him. This is the same idea. Usvasav, and his lips mokesh nafsho, they as a trap, serve as a trap for his own neshama. In other words, the foolish person does himself, and we had this idea many, many times. Pasuk zayin, nevi alatzmai machto v'shever, he brings upon himself destruction. Machta means shever. It means destruction. Divrei maybe alatz me machta the shever. Two words which mean the same thing. Moikesh nafsho, mivim moikesh nafsho. A foolish person, through his foolish words, he traps himself. He gets caught in a web of lies. When you lie, you get caught in your own lies, and that reveals, that opens up Pesach to reveal that everything about the person is all sheker v'chazav. Pasuk Zayin, there is no Rashi pasuk. Zayin pasuk ches. Divrei nirgon kimis lahamim vehem yardu chardivot. The words of a nirgon. Nirgon is a very interesting word. It means a complainer. Okay, we have many different words. It doesn't necessarily mean about lashon hara. All different types of words that describe the abuse of the koyach hadibur. Here it means a person always complaining. Nothing is ever good enough. Kimis lahamim. This is it's like his words are like blows. It's as if he's hitting people. When you complain, the people who listen to your complaints feel like they're being beaten up. And when you're being beaten up, what happens? You have to respond. You can't sit and suffer silently. You have to speak up and fight back. Yardu chardevata, and complaints, they descend deep into the chambers of the womb. An insult has the koyach to harm a person's neshama. If you hit a person, their flesh can heal. Just give it a couple of days, a couple of weeks, you break a person's bones. No, the bones will break. You go to a specialist, go to Dr. Fruchter, he'll fix you up. Dr. Friedman, he'll fix you up, you'll be in good shape. But if you insult a person, an insult goes down, and you say something very insulting, that insult can infect the person's neshama, his soul, and you'll never forget the insult for the rest of your life. I know personally, I know there are people that I can look at them, and I can tell you every insult. Well, I can tell you all the nasty things they said to me. I know insults you don't forget, and the good things, the compliments, and the nice things, you forget very quickly, because an insult touches upon your neshama. An insult is real. Compliment, it's just mibnei shalom, mishane mibnei darkei shalom. So think twice before you lash out and insult your friend. It's likely they will never forget those words for the rest of their lives. Even if they will make up with you and be friendly with you, deep down, those words are there, and the word time it comes up. And that's what it says here, Yardu, words of the nirgon, of the complainer, who in this context means the insulter, descend deep, deep down into the chadre, to the deepest recesses of the bottom of the person's inner most self. Let's see the Mesudas Pasuk Ches, Divrei Nirgon, Divrei Misloinen, the words of the Misloinen, him caution, are harsh, kimakos hamishabros, as blows, fatal blows, blows that harm a person. The word kimis lahamim is being used now the second time in two psukim. We're on Pasuk Vav, upiv limahalumos. Limahalumos means hakah, it means a strike. Here it's again, kimis lahamim. Kimis lahamim, it means a strike. They're words that are kimakos hamishabos v'oidhim yordim charivoten, and they descend deep down to a person's innermost sense. Avol bot hamakos ahema mimal al guf, but a regular mako is no big deal. You hit a person, so big deal. It's on the surface. V'ochaz and it will heal. V'ochaz berch melitza. This is an expression. Koimer hinei behold hamakos hashorhim mimal al mimal, a wound that's done to the person's physical body. Noyach l'rapoisan. It's easy to heal. Masha ein kein makos. But wounds that are internal wounds are very difficult to heal, and likewise we're comparing the words of the nirgon, the complainer, the insulter, are just like wounds that affect the innermost sense, innermost essence of a person. Rashi, divrei nirgon kimis lahanim mehalumos, are strikes. Okay, we have over here the Huak who are called the Nirgon. The Nirgon are the Meraglim. According to the Medrash says, let me read the words of the Medrash, the Yalkut Shmoini. Nusach Acher, Divrei Nirgon Kimis Lahamim, Ze Dor Hamidbar. Kenat Nimran, we'll come back to Nimran in one moment. This refers to the Dor Hamidbar. Vayam kimis onanim. The people complained. The people complained. They complained against the Kadosh Baruch Hu. They were fed up with the man and the and and um, They had a number of complaints against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Dor HaMidbar, they were called the words of the Nirgun, the complainers. They were coming to seek out complaints against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vateirognu v'oholeichem. Okay, here we have that same word, Vateirognu, the Nirgun. They complained in their tents, how can we go into Eretz of the Meraglim? The Meraglim complained, how are we going to be able to ascend to Eretz Yisrael when we have here all of the enemies of we are overpowered by Oig, by the 31 kings of Canaan. Vateirognu v'oholeichem. So the Medrash connects that word Vateirognu, which has the same shoresh as the word Nirgun, to teach us that the Dor HaMidbar, and the Dor HaMidbar were the ones who, unfortunately, their sharp words against the Kadosh Baruch Hu were taken with a lot of pain, kaviyachol, by a Kadosh Baruch Hu.
Was it because they complained specifically against Eretz Yisrael, the ultimate complaint?
Everything.
I mean, they were complaining throughout. No water, they complained. No food, they complained. No this, they complained. That Dora was, actually, they tested Hashem 10 times.
Right.
That was complaints. They didn't have this, they didn't have that. Moshe was gone, they complained. Everything was a complaint. So, what was the critical thing? Was it because it was against the Eretz Yisrael that they promised they didn't trust Hashem and they rebelled against the land?
Everything. It's a combination of multiple factors.
So he's focusing on the Meraglim.
Because by the Meraglim, Vateirognu v'oholeichem v'atayimu b'sinas Hashem al-osanu hotzionu mi'eretz mitzrayim loseis osanu b'yad ho'emori lihashmideinu. Being that we find this expression, Vateirognu, specifically in reference to the response of Klal Yisrael in the aftermath of the Meraglim, so we apply it to the Dor HaMidbar at that particular moment in time. That's what the Medrash is saying. We have the word Divrei Nirgun ki mislahamin. This, the words of the Nirgun was ki, they were kaviyachol hitting HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and their words of insult affected Yardu Chadrivot, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu took their words of complaint to heart. He took their words of complaint as a severe breach on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's covenant. Okay, one last point over here from this Medrash is, the Medrash says Vateirognu is nutriking, at least in the parish of Meraglim, of two words. Tartem Ginus. Tartem means to spy. It's giving us a very deep insight into what it means and what it means a Nirgun. A Nirgun doesn't just mean the person that complains. At least Vateirognu means to spy. Tartem Esaretz. To spy requires a lot of time, effort, and resources. You have to wait, be very patient to uncover the secrets, to use those secrets against the subject that you're dealing with. This is why the Medrash says that the Torah chose the word Vateirognu. It wasn't just that it was a comment, a slip of the tongue. It was premeditated. Vateirognu, there are two words in Vateirognu. Tartem, the first two letters, Tuf Resh, stand for Tartem, which means to spy, to think deeply, and to engage in reconnaissance and all these type of things. And then the last three letters, Gimel, Nun, Vav, stand for Ginus. It's the abbreviation, the beginning of the word Ginus, for disgrace. Tartem Ginus. You sought out, through spying, the Ginus, the disgrace of the land, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu has promised to bring you to an Eretz Toiva or Chava, to a good land. And that gives us insight into what it means over here, Divrei Nirgun ki mislahamim, when a person is like a spy to seek out a person's defects and then throw it upon them in a clever way. This is the worst possible type of insult. It's ki mislahamim, it's as if you hit a person, and it's not just an ordinary makah, it's a makah that descends to the inner essence of the person's existence, essence. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk test. Gam misrapeh b'malachto achu l'bal mashkes. A person that is misrapeh, new idea, a person that is misrapeh means that he's lazy. A person who is lazy in his labor, he's a brother to the mashkes, to the one that is active in doing this, in destroying. So we have over here two different types of people that can bring harm. One person actively comes to destroy you. He's your enemy. He's focused on your destruction. And then there's your friend. He works with you. He's part of your team. but he's lazy. He's lazy, he doesn't do what he's supposed to do. The Pasuk says both of these people are equal, they're brothers. They're brothers, they're both going to bring about your destruction. It's like Esav. Esav can destroy us either to destroy us openly, or he kisses us. Vayishakeyu, he kissed us, an Esav kiss. You feel that expression? Someone told me, I met this person, I met my old boss in the streets, and he gave me an Esav kiss.
That's why you have
dots on
the word
Vayishakeyu. It was a kiss of insincerity. He makes believe he's your friend, but really he's trying to pickpocket you. While he's kissing you, his hands are in your pocket.
That's Lavan's kiss.
They call an Esav kiss. Okay, so when you go to meet someone by Chasna, I haven't seen you in 10 years, you give him a nice Esav kiss. You don't really mean it, you just...
I hope not to see you another 10 years.
So here it says, that's the two parts of the pasuk. We have over here the person who is the Baal Mashkas, the one that's actively out to destroy. Then we have the person that is the Misrapeh. He is on your team, but he's lazy. And his laziness will lead to your downfall. Let's take a look at this pasuk test. Pasuk test, Gam Misrapeh. The Gemara gives a very good example. The Gemara is a very good example this one moment. Let's just see. Gam Misrapeh. Pasuk test. Afilu HaMasatz L'Bemalach B'Malachas HaTarav V'Refuyi Hibiyah. Okay, so here the Mitzudas uncharacteristically is discussing here a more midrashic interpretation. He's discussing a person that is Isaac in the Talmud Torah, and a person that sits and learns the whole day, but he's lazy. When it's weak in his hands, who och v'chaver, he's equal to a person who's a brother and a friend. It's a person that openly tries to destroy the Torah. A person tries to destroy the Torah, because the end will be that a person who's lazy, a person will be just like him. When he forgets the words of Torah, a person who sits and learns, this is a very scary thing. What it says here, a person who's in kollel and he sits and learns in the lazy way, comes late to seder, and he schmoozes and he wastes his time during seder, doesn't belong. This type of person is equivalent to the people out there who are telling you, why is there a kollel altogether? Shut down the kollel. Let these people pick themselves up and go to work. These two. That's the way the Mitzvah learns. If you're really going to be in kollel, you have to work hard. You have to be on time and have to be sincere. Because if you're going to be misrapid, you're going to be lazy, you're going to be loose. It's equivalent. You're an ach v'chover to a person that's out to shut down the kollel. Test and pasuk and Rashi. Gam misrapid melachta perush min haTorah.
I think for what he's saying is even more that. Someone's going to ask you to say a dvar Torah, and you're going to say Narishkeit, then people are going to think this is Torah.
It's going to be a zilz. Okay, you're going to destroy from within by being part of a group of people. Talmid Chacham, and you're lazy. That your actions will rub off on the others, and you'll destroy them. You'll drag down the quality, the environment of the learning, where Mimela the whole kollel will shut down. So you don't need people antagonists to come along and say it's a waste of time, a waste of money, let's shut down the whole thing. People within, by not adhering to the siddurim and to the discipline and the hasmud that is required of being part of a group of people, the mainly will destroy the kol from within.
In business world, a team member, especially on a self-managed team, is not pulling their weight. And there's no loss, you have a right to ask that person
to step down.
Step down. Or you force them out. So let's say the same thing happens in a kollel.
Absolutely, there are certain standards. Well, that's the big debate in yeshivas. Said this is the major debate today in yeshivas of all the high schools. This is the articles they had this in the beginning of the year. Every year they renew this thing. Is there are certain schools that refuse to take in talmidim, and there are certain students out there. There's a shortage of schools for students. Not everyone can get into a school. And dealing over here with Achinu Bnei Yisrael. And they had this year these debates, and they interviewed all the principals of the major schools, and they said they were torn. On the one hand, we want to take in everyone, but on the other hand, we know that by taking in a certain types of students, it drags down the moral standards. Climate, the standards for other people.
I'm talking about an environment where a student is trying his best,
Even where the student is trying his best, if the student doesn't fit into the environment, it can have an adverse effect.
I'm referring to the example that was presented.
Business, yeah.
In a colloquial environment where somebody is, as you said, lazy, not coming on top at all. That means he's capable.
He's ruining it, but so what? You're an adult in a colloquial.
But that's a different parallel example in the school example you're giving on.
There's a difference between the yeshiva and a colloquial.
Every single person, every single individual has an effect on his chabura, on a group. You're a group of people, every person contributes to the environment. And if one person is not 100%, it pulls everyone down. That's the metzias. That's the way it is.
There's a disparity in terms of capabilities.
That's also true. You're not going to get into, go to the secular world. They don't take in Harvard anyone who wants to come in. It's exclusive. It's an elitist group. You have to meet the standards. You're not going to let like join everyone else in the Torah world. It's also something like that.
If an alumni at Harvard, you can get in.
Okay, let's go further. Let's over here, Rashi. It has to be. It's a complicated world. That's about. Let's see, Rashi. Gam mischabi belachdoi parish min haTorah butal mechacham lebal mashchis lesatan. Okay, Rashi says the same thing as the mitzvah. The person who is a talmud chacham, a person is a group, is part of a group, and he's a talmud chacham, and he's parish min haTorah butal mechacham lebal mashchis. So he becomes the Satan. So he becomes an achle bal mashkes to the Satan by being parish min haTorah. He has an evil. Seemingly, Rashi means he has a very bad influence on his chaverim. Okay, now the medrash, the very beautiful medrash that said that scary medrash that says who are the two subjects of this pasuk? Achashverosh and Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar, it goes without saying, Nebuchadnezzar is going to get the Rosh, the one who's responsible for the Chorban of the Beis HaMikdash. Everyone knows that. He's the one, the Rosh, Marusha, he destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. But Achashverosh, most people would not consider Achashverosh to be equal to the Nebuchadnezzar. What did Achashverosh already do? A Melech Tipish, Melech Chacham, but the Gemara here says Achashverosh is an equal to Nebuchadnezzar, because he's the one that canceled, he put a stop, a halt to the construction of the Beis HaMikdash. When Achashverosh became Melech, he wasn't only him, it was already before him, it was from Koresh. Koresh stopped the work, people complained, they wrote a sitna to the Melech, to Koresh, and Koresh put a stop to it, and then Achashverosh was pressured to allow them to resume building the Beis HaMikdash, and he said, no, I'm not going to let you, I'm not going to grant a license for the Jewish people to continue building the Beis HaMikdash. So he is called the one that is Misrapeh b'melachto. According to the Medrash, the Melacha here is the Melacha of the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. The Misrapeh is the one who loosens. It is Achashverosh. He is loosening the ability of the Jewish people to continue with the construction. So he is a Rasha. He is an Och. He is an equal partner, Labal Mashchis, to the one that actually destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, Nebuchadnezzar himself. So this pasuk is a very powerful Musar, is, like you said, as Mr. Rapport said, is that if you have an opportunity, you have the ability to let something go forward, and you're holding it back, it's equal to being a partner in the actual destruction. I'll read the Gemara in the Medrash in Esther Rabbah. Who is the subject of this pasuk? Klapi mi nema pasuk ze, the gam misrabi malachta, ze achashverosh. The Gemara says, because the word och, I guess it's a play on the word och, he is a brother. Achashverosh, the first two letters of his name is ach, och, ze achashverosh, shebitel meleches beis hamigdash. He did not give them permission to continue its construction. And the pasuk is telling us that they're both equally responsible. That any generation upon which the Beis HaMikdash was not rebuilt, it's as if they destroyed it. So therefore, if we are Nisrashel in the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, not doing Tshuva Ma'asim Tovim, so Rachman Lestan, we can be equivalent to the Mashkis, to the generation where they brought about the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash. A very powerful Musar from Rabbi Meir. Okay, let's stop over here.